Accession number 16663. Yes, reel 3.
Mrs. Kimura, reel 3.
Very likely somebody informed on me to NKVD. And they dug me up, and I had to go to start to work. But as more than 50% by that time of us were dead, and the rest of us hardly were what you could call working force, very many in similar to me condition, they decided, that is in NKVD, to two camps like that, bring to one, you know,
Join them together.
So the workforce will have some significance, will be able to do some job, you know, so we were few more. Because of their organization, it took about 2 weeks or 3 weeks before they managed to take us to the other camp, settle us there. That meant that again I had a 2 or 3 weeks time without forced labor. I had in some way a rest. And in the meantime, the spring was out or summer. There is hardly a spring there. It is either winter or summer. And my youngest sister could go and pick mushrooms, wild mushrooms, or toadstool, whatever you might call it, fungi. And vegetation, edible vegetation. And the soups could be made, and you could cook by that time on the outside, not necessarily in this one hall, which I was talking previously, so, you know, there were more cooking facilities. You simply bonfire, make a little fire over there, and on the 2 stone you could cook. So I was fed as well, much better, and being young, I recovered. I recovered from the condition of dochodziaga. I wasn't any longer a dochodziaga. Then, about 18 months after we were deported, so it was in this summer, suddenly we are taken off the work and everybody is forced to go out. It was summertime. And here are not our local NKVD guarding us men, but from the district office, some high up NKVD people are coming to have a talk with us for the very first time. And they came, they stood on some stool or something like that, and the man who said, "We, that is us Russian and you Poles, us Russian and you Poles are brothers and sisters. And everybody knows that the biggest fights are in families. So we sometimes fight there. But now we love each other." Precisely, I am not making it like that. At first, nobody believed. But then, from the attitude of our own NKVD, it was pretty obvious. So some young, still alive men ventured out and managed to buy a Pravda. Pravda, as it happened, had a mention of the fact. So we believed. The same way we learn about Polish army being organized. Because you know of the how it happened, all that we were set free. Poles, or don't you? Should I say about it?
Well, just briefly, I think.
When Hitler attacked Stalin, and Stalin needed a lot of help, goods from United States, transport, marine transport from Great Britain, he could not afford bad propaganda. That was at the very beginning. Polish government in exile here in London took advantage of the situation and started clamoring about 2 million of Poles being deported in 18 months of the Russian occupation of the eastern Poland. So Stalin, for the sake of keeping things down, set us free. But what you do if you are up north or somewhere in the middle of Kazakhstan and people are outside dying of starvation, I mean Russian, not us necessarily, by scores daily, you are at first obliged to sit there and do what you have done, but there is no other way. But achieving that, Polish government exile again clamored for pretending that they didn't know that many of us died. That out of 2 million of Poles, or so, perhaps it wasn't precisely 2 million, but so, sizable army can be organized as a help in fight. Again, argument not easily, you know, to put out, you know, by Stalin. So he left Polish Second Corps to be organized in Buzuk. That is in on the east of the Ural, in the, I believe it was Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan.
Soviet Central Asia.
Yes, Soviet Central Asia, precisely. We learn about that from the papers, from the Pravda. Again, somebody, oh, they issue us with udostoverenie, that is document of being free. Not only we had a nice speech from the NKVD, but we did get as well udostoverenie, which we could not much do at the time with, but nevertheless. So, again, with, you know, armed with this udostoverenie, again, some young man went and managed to get Pravda, and once or twice at the times when we learned that the Polish army is organized. Next things, we stopped eating bread, only we dried that on the sun.
Only with what?
Dried it, make it dry on the sun. Make it sort of, you know, the army dry bread, biscuits. You know, you can dry on the heat as it was in the summer there, you can dry the bread because otherwise it would go moldy. You could not. We ate only what the woods provided, picked by my sisters. We as well dried some fruits and some edible fungi, anything edible. We prepared provision for the journey. And then we started to clamor for transport. But NKVD, who by the way still was, although not walking about with guns, but nevertheless kept careful eye on all of us, still watching whatever is doing there. And they said, oh, there is a wartime. No way we can provide transport for your pleasure trips. So we went by foot to the nearest tiny Trans-Siberian station on the Trans-Siberian railway line. I am not precise. There was a tiny station, some 30 miles or something like that from us. Actually, the line we were building was to be connected with this, for the sake, the railway line. So we went to this little tiny station, and there were two or three men inside, because for the quite a large district, that was the only telephone and only telegraph at the station. So women and children occupied the building, men outside, just in case the NKVD would make their mind to shoot or something. And we never ever let anybody in or out, except food for those two men or three men, for 3 days. And eventually, not having any contact with the outside world, NKVD provided for us, we were 300 people, three again, precisely like the one which brought us to Russia, railway tracks fitted with the shells. And 300 of us, you know, loaded ourselves into these tracks. We were attached to the train going towards Gorky. When we arrived in Gorky, there was NKVD coming in force, about 20 or 30 of them, this time with the guns. And the phrase quite well known in Russia, Davai nazad, which means go back. They told us, Davai nazad, Davai nazad. And so, knowing that Gorky was on the Trans-Siberian line as well, railway line as well, and knowing, like on this little station, that what they were afraid that there will be some foreigner in this train and will witness all that. That was really our weapon, nothing else. So the men who were still, you know, among us said, everybody out of our tracks, in front, we will make a line, and they went and say, well, we are ready, shoot us, because we never ever will go back. Bargain lasted day or two, and they attached us to the train going first east over the Ural, and then south. The journey altogether lasted 10 weeks.
So the secret police backed down when you confronted them?
We were, you know, we were in the way with our udostavirenie. We were free men, but that wouldn't bother them at all, if not the fact that they were afraid that the news of it might go out and the particular in charge and NKVD will be responsible. And they knew how the Russian dealt with it. The first one who was connected with it goes to be punished, even if he did get orders to the contrary, to do that. To do that. Oh, God gracious me. Even if he had, you know, it is punishing you all for the problems in Russia. So they were afraid for themselves. And in this way, on the way down, we were entitled on the station to buy the same amount of bread. But nobody was obliged to supply us with this bread. So that was very much huge luck. The other thing on this journey, which was really horrendous, was that being Russia, nobody ever knew how long this train will stay, rest there, where and when it will go. You could not find this kind of things. That was typically Russian. Never, ever you could find. So every time you stood there, and of course, when there was a bread sold on, you know, documents, you had to have this udostavirenie or Russian permit for traveling. Otherwise, you are not entitled to get this bread. Nevertheless, there were huge queues. The loaf of bread at the black market in those places at this time costed more than monthly earning of average Russian person. Hunger was prevailing. Bread was really a matter of life and death. So this bread being sold there was really of, you know, people were trying to get it. And there were many like us. And in the meantime, when you were fighting and staying in the queue and fighting when they opened for this bread, your train might have gone and you never knew. Well, in the matter of fact, my one hand, I mean my good hand sister, younger than me, and I, once lost my mother and youngest sister train. And we were out alone for 1 week. How he managed, that was another miracle. Not, perhaps you are not believing man, but as I am saying, you can call it as you wish, because we were traveling with Barbara. Those trucks were not fitted with shelves. You just stood there all these 7 days and night. But because mostly there were people like us from Wagers, laboring camps, either running away from Germans or like us, set free. If they were Poles, they were set free with this udostawierenie. But nevertheless, there were quite a masses traveling on those few railways line which Russia had. So when we squeezed ourselves, Barbara and I, my sister, into the truck, we were sort of squeezed up for sometimes two, 3 days, we never touched floorboards. Because when you know, the squeezing is such, you tend to be sort of pop up. So that's how I traveled. But in Kermine this time, we eventually arrived at Kermine station. And every larger station, and even smaller one, but larger especially, in Russia at the time had a lot, dozens and dozens of sight lines. There were so few railway lines, and each station it was a matter of, you know,
Siding
and, you know, changing. And so in Kermine you could scarcely see the end of those sight lines, you know, when you stood there. And our train stops here, and just in front, on the other side track, the doors are open, and my youngest sister is standing. That's why I am saying it was a miracle. It was absolutely a miracle.
You were going eastwards, were you?
At the time, we were going southwards. We already crossed Ural, and we were going southward to reach Polish authorities. That was our aim. And eventually we reached, to make it shorter, this Buzuk. But that time there were so many hundreds of thousands of Poles, and not only Poles. Somehow people learn, and whatever the nationality, they seem to be seeing the only hope that somehow, perhaps, but mostly Poles, you know, some help will come to this. So they could not take us in. They came with Red Cross gifts, chocolate, condensed milk, what was corned beef.
Where had these supplies come from?
Red Cross in Buzuk, Polish authorities got them from, I believe Britain, but I don't know. Must have been from Britain, from British Red Cross.
Not from Russia.
Oh, no. Oh, that is a dog. That is a dog. No, definitely not. Not from Russia. And they sent us further south to Buzuk. So again we came under the arms of the NKVD. In Buzuk, Buzuk, that was the Polish army. I'm getting...
Guzar,
that is Uzbekistan. Guzar. In Guzar, there were no Polish authorities. There was, again, NKVD only, nobody else. And they told us, oh, so, all right, you will help us with the war efforts, working on the farms. And Uzbeks were coming, sometimes with camels, sometimes with not horses, but donkeys, and taking somewhere. We were, again, lucky, please, treble inverted brackets. My mother was befriended with the other woman, as well with four girls' children, roughly the same age as us. Her husband was in the prison, Russian prison. Imprisonment in Russia had many forms. One of those was prison. When he was almost dying, as he was not that far from our camp, they sent him to his wife to our camp. Poor man somehow did not die. He even managed to go through this horrific journey. But when we were unloaded in Guzar, he died. So we had to bury him. There was nobody else, and we, with our hands, we had to dig in stony ground a grave, shallow grave for him. There was not a plank of wood, and we had to bury Pani Łańcucka, my mother, and us girls. But thanks to it, we stayed in Guzar 3 days longer or so. By that time, all the rest of the Poles were taken to the local kolkhozes. And nobody was particularly keen to have such a working force like two old women, one working girl, that is me, because the oldest daughter of Mrs. Łańcucka went through typhus, and then the inflammation of the joints, which gave her heart condition, she could not walk at all, so she was not working force. And, you know, the children. So we were left, there was a kolkhoz attached to the Guzar town itself. We were left there. The starvation over there was again, well, practically the same, because instead of bread, we did get only one thing, that was flour. But at the time, Russian way, before the flour reached us, so many people had a chance to steal a little bit. To replace the weight, usually, a little bit of sand was added. So, but the time it reached us, it was half sand and half flour. Because everybody on the way had to, you know, to benefit a little bit out of it. And we were really, again, nine of us altogether, dying of starvation when Polish authorities managed to, there was some Polish units later on organized in Karmine, but that was too far from us. Again, in Guzar, they started to organize Polish military units. And I never will forget when we learn that the Polish sappers are coming to prepare the grounds. And we went to the railway station. We, that is two mothers, and stronger feeling three, I think, of us, girls. And those men, when the train stopped, get off the train, had a look, one look at us, and they knew all about it. So they said, would you please wait here? It is our Russian time. You know, as a soldier, they were given some Russian. What they were given at this time, it was about a pound of bread and one tiny little cube of sugar. So what they did, they found some dirty. Clean things were not available at all. By the way, on this train, every one of us was factory of lices. We did not have one wash, except in snow, hands in snow when you were off the train, for 10 weeks. At first we were 100 to the one truck, later on, of course, far fewer. Quite a few died on the way, but still very much, you know, tied up very much. So lices were
in, in millions.
In millions.
So you were saying how the soldiers divided their rations?
Yes, and found some pieces of material, dirty. That's what reminded me about the lices. And everyone broke corner of his ration of bread and tiny little corner from his cube of sugar in two parcels. One was delivered to each mother. Excuse me. It still is better. And of course, although I was soldier in a couple of weeks myself, and I was getting what the soldier in Guzar got at this time was this 40 grams, roughly a pound of bread and cube of sugar in the morning, and a measure of sort of herbal tea. Actually, there were skins of the fruits, dried, and the tea was brewed out of it. Then there was the little tiny things, mullet, edible. I think it is mullet in English.
Grain?
Yes, mullet, I think.
Millet?
Millet, yes.
We give it to the birds.
Lucky you. I am sorry. There was a soup which was supposed to be cooked with meat, but you hardly ever saw any meat from this
millet.
And there was a large spoon of the millet being done to sort of gruel, you know. That was lunch. The supper was only this gruel, again, the same thing, only, you know, that was all what you did get